You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Good morning. I'd like to extend my welcome to you all and to those online as well. I've been part of Christian Life Church for 36 years. Wow. God is so good and so faithful. And I think when we've had a morning like we've already had, I think to myself, wow, follow that. But you know, I don't have to. It's the Holy Spirit that just continues. And that just takes the pressure off me. And it's like, God, I just thank you that we can soak in your presence. Amen. So to start off with, just checking it's on there, I'm going to talk about how Jesus offers living water. And I was going to read the passage. It's in John 4. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to John 4. And it's a lengthy passage. It's the longest conversation that is recorded between Jesus and anybody else. It's like, wow. And we're going to explore that a bit further. So it's John 4. And I'm just going to let you watch that for a couple of minutes rather than have me sort of chat it through. It's the video. Yeah. It's okay.
Jesus had been teaching in Judea. He and his disciples began traveling back to Galilee. They traveled through Samaria and stopped in a town with a well. Jesus' disciples went into town to buy food. While Jesus was at the well, a Samaritan woman came to get water from the well. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." The woman was surprised. "Why are you talking to me?" she asked. "You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan." Jesus said, "I asked you for a drink. You don't know who I am. If you did, you would have asked me for a drink, and I would give you living water." The woman was confused. She said, "Sir, this well is deep and you don't have a bucket. Where do you get this living water?" Jesus said, "Anyone who drinks this well water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water I give will never be thirsty again. In fact, the water I give will become a well inside you, and you will have eternal life." Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit, but the woman did not understand. "Sir," she said, "give me this water. If I'm not thirsty, I won't have to keep coming to this well to get water." "Go get your husband," Jesus said. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus knew she was telling the truth. He said, "You don't have a husband now, but you've had five husbands." "Jesus was right. I see you are a prophet," the woman said. "Maybe this prophet could explain something to her," she said. "The Samaritans worship here on a mountain, but the Jews say we need to worship at the temple in Jerusalem." Jesus said, "Soon you will not need to be in either of those places to worship God in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus said, "I am the Messiah." The woman left and told the people in her town, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" Many Samaritans believed in Jesus because of what the woman said. Jesus stayed in their town for 2 days. Many more believed because of what Jesus said. They told the woman, "We no longer believe because of what you said, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this really is the Savior of the world." Jesus offers something better than physical water. He gives us himself. Jesus gives the Holy Spirit to everyone who comes to him by faith. We can worship him as Lord and Savior wherever we are.
Amen. That sort of basically says it all, really. We are going to unpack it a bit more. But here we have a woman at noon going to the well. In those days, women used to go together as part of the community, and they would be chatting on the way. They'd go and collect the water together. But in this story, you have a woman on her own at noon. She must have been isolated. We know that she's had five husbands and that the woman she is with, that the guy she was with now is not her husband. Maybe that's why she was isolated, shunned by society, having to go on her own. It's hard to imagine, why would she go out in isolation to avoid everybody else? And sometimes we can find ourselves in that position, in a place of isolation because of our past, because of what's happened previously, because of things that are in our lives, things that are in our situations, things we are going through. And you know what? To God, it doesn't matter. He crosses all the cultural divides. He crosses all the social divides. And he spoke to her. A, he was a Jew. She was a Samaritan. There's a long history of hostility between the two. As a man, even to stop and speak to her, as a Samaritan, she was like a second-class citizen and on her own. But he crosses that because of the Holy Spirit and through the Holy Spirit. So we don't have to worry about going out and being in isolation and being on our own, because God will always be with us. So Jesus, fully man, fully God, was needing refreshment, hottest part of the day. And he said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" She said, "You are a Jew, I am a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink?" It's like, it's impossible, you shouldn't be doing this. But that didn't bother him. In verse 10, he goes on to say, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living waters." We've been talking this morning about communion, about how Jesus died on the cross to take on our infirmities, to restore that relationship with God. That is Jesus. That was Jesus then. That is Jesus now. And this woman just says, "How can you ask me for a drink?" And he just said, "If you knew the gift of God." I was at a time in my life when I did not know the gift of God. In fact, I would declare, I was in fact an atheist, in my uni days, there isn't a God. He's man-made. Because I had not experienced the love or the compassion of God. I knew the Old Testament version, the do's and the don'ts, the must and the mustn'ts. That law that sort of to some extent just keeps us separated from God. But when Jesus died on the cross, which is what we celebrate through communion, he took away that division. He took away that isolation. He took away that need to hide because he pulled the curtain down. He took us right into that very temple, right into his presence. And the gift of God was no longer in those days God with us. It's God in us by his Holy Spirit, the hope of glory. And that is what Jesus has done for us today. He has given us his Holy Spirit, those living waters that he offers us. And just says, "Here, drink." Because he knows how to satisfy our needs, body, soul, and spirit. That woman at the well, in the middle of the day, on her own, was probably in despair. She says, "I want that water, and then I haven't got to keep coming here day after day to come and get that water. She's at that place of despair, no hope. That is what her life had come to, constantly going to the well in the middle of the day, on her own, not in the company, not part of the community. And yet Jesus comes right into her situation. If any of you are here today or you're online, Jesus wants to come right in to your situation. Amen? I can hear a few amens. I've got to admit I've gone completely off what I was going to say. But do you know, sometimes that's what we need to do, is just listen to what God says. Shola had headphones on earlier. And God wants to say today, avoid your distractions. Just listen to me. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. Don't listen to the lies of the world. Listen to me. And even in the spirit right now, just put your headphones on and say, God, what are you saying to me today? Because it is living water. The Holy Spirit lives in us, the hope of glory. We can hear him today, not 2,000 years ago through an encounter at the well, but here today, this is his well. Amen? Amen. I'll try and regroup just a little bit, which probably will be easier because I shall cut it quite short. So when Jesus died on the cross, he took away the need for the priest to be making an offering, which is what they used to do in the Old Testament under the law. Because he was that offering for us. He was that gift. He was the sacrifice. And under the old law, I'm going to take you to Numbers, which is slide 12. So if you could go to slide 12. Cutting out loads, but that's fine. We'll be quicker and we can soak, because I think that's what God really wants us to be doing, is to soak. So in Numbers 5, this is a woman. She's at the well. Jesus is offering her living water. She doesn't understand it. She has a lot of questions about faith, about religion. Where do we worship? Jesus said it's in spirit and in truth. And if you just take this back to the Old Testament law, we just find another layer of what this actually means, of Jesus offering this woman living water. He offers us living water today. And in the Old Testament, a husband could take his wife to the priest if he thought she'd been unfaithful. And he would mix the ash off the floor where the animals had been sacrificed. He'd mix it with water and give it her to drink. It was known as the trial by bitter waters. Now, I think that this woman at the well would have known about this. Five husbands living with someone who's not her husband at the moment. And here we have the Son of God offering her living waters, not the water of judgment, not the bitter water. And it's like, wow, it is such a change around. She has her eyes opened that he is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God, because he can tell her all these things. And just to make it soak into her heart, he says, I offer you living water. I offer you my Holy Spirit. I don't offer you judgment. I don't offer you condemnation. I don't offer you bitterness. I don't offer you isolation. I don't offer you shame. I take that off you on the cross. That is his purpose. That's why he died, so that we could enter into that relationship with him, so that we can have that living water by his Holy Spirit that can just flow through us. That it doesn't flow through us just to give us a happy life. It does, actually, it's great, it's joy, it's just wow. But it's for others to receive. So we offer other people a drink from that well. That's also part of the purpose, that's part of the living waters. That's part of the Holy Spirit. We give it out. Jesus fills us. Jesus overflows us by his Spirit. He gives it out. Amen? Amen? She wasn't guilty. She was offered living waters. A new start. And it says that she went back into her community. Got to try and find the slide for this one. Okie dokie. I think it's towards the end. You found it, have you? Okay, brilliant. So, she goes back. Just find it on here. Okay. Leaving her water jar. This is verse 28-30. Leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who has told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" She left that water jar. That was a symbol of her old life. That was a symbol of her despair, of having to go to that well every single day, in her shame, in her isolation, out of the community. She left it. And I don't think she walked sort of, "Oh, well, let's go back and tell the town." I think she ran. I think she was so excited and so surprised by what God had done, offering her living waters, that she ran. Just says she went. I think I would, wow. And I think God is giving us a bit of a wake-up call and a bit of a shove and say, get out there, go and tell, go and say, what has God done? What is your story? What have you got to tell people about what he has done? So she goes back and she tells them. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. How her life had been changed. How her despair had been turned into dancing, joy, praise. He's the Messiah. I don't have to worry anymore. I don't have to be anxious. He is restoring me, body, soul, and spirit. He told me everything I ever did. Then verse 39 towards 42. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days because of the words. Because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you have said. We have heard for ourselves. And we know this man really is the Savior of the world." Wow! One life changed. One person that went back to her community and it was changed. One person as the catalyst of what was going to happen in that town. She went back, she told them. Nothing special. She just said, "This is what God has done." And the town, the city was changed. How often do we think as one person we can be the catalyst to change a community? Do you have that level of faith? Is that you? Is that in your heart today? Because if it isn't, God wants to put it in your heart that everybody here that knows Jesus, that has had their life transformed, can just go and say, "Wow, he is the Savior of the world." And if you look even deeper into the story, that is Samaria, the Middle East. Don't necessarily want to go all the way down there. But Jesus, as a Jew, was asked to stay in that community. He brought peace. He brought flowing rivers of life into that town that would otherwise have said, "You can't come here. We don't want to know you. We have a hostility that goes back centuries. But they heard the story from the woman. The community was changed, and they said, stay. Wow, what could that do to the Middle East today? Everything that's going on there, Jesus, just stay with us. Spirit of God, stay with us. First, her eyes are opened, and then the rest of the city, their eyes were opened. Stay with me. Jesus offered living waters, staying with the woman, staying with the town. A community changed. Wow, one person. Could that be me? Natasha, could that be you? Vivian, that is you. Natasha, that is you. Is it Natasha or Gabriella? You two are looking sad. I sort of thought, Gabriella and Natasha, pass it on to Natasha. Levi, yeah, it's you. Everybody that knows Jesus, that has the Holy Spirit in him, that is you. You are that catalyst to change the world. Wow. I never realized that when I got saved. It was just like, wow. Jesus, I know you love me. God, I know you love me because you let Jesus die on the cross. That is my story. It's nothing wonderful. It's not complicated. Not necessarily the shame like this woman. That was why she was isolated. But it's a story of how God's love saturated my heart, the hardest of hearts. Your heart might not even be nearly as hard as mine was. But it doesn't matter, because God's living water by his Holy Spirit will saturate it. He will soften it. He will bring his love in the hardest of places. He will bring his love into those places of despair. And he'll just give you a refreshing. He will satiate that thirst. The woman had questions. What about this? What about that? Jesus just said it's about worshiping in truth and in spirit. Doesn't matter where we are. Today we are here at CLC. It's not the bricks. It's not the building. That is what I used to believe a church was. It's the people in it. It's the lives changed. It's the heart softened that actually make a church. It's not coming to the place. It's a lovely place. It's you people. It's you people online. It's hearts and lives transformed that will change a city. And I just believe that today, from the prophecy and the tongues that were given earlier, God wants to do a work in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits. We are the change. We are the way that the city gets transformed because of the living waters, the Holy Spirit that God has put in us. And sometimes it's like, oh, turn the tap on. You know what? God says just have a full immersion. We had baptisms last week. Do you know what? Baptism in the Spirit. Just pour it on, soak us in. From our feet to our head, it's like, wow, God, soak me, saturate me. Just fill me. Fill me again. Fill us again. Fill your people with your Spirit that when they go out, miracles happen. A word to somebody that's in despair. A prayer to somebody that needs healing. Wow, things change. One person that you might pray for outside could be one person that gets healed. That could be somebody that changes a city. Wow. And this isn't a heavy thing to make you think, oh, no, 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 I'm not like that. Do you know what? Jesus does it all. It's his Spirit flowing through me. I did pray with somebody last year, and I had that thinking at the time, what if she was one person that got healed and told the city? That's revival. What did Francis say earlier? revival, God saturating, flowing waters at that well. Fill ourselves, take it to the city. We don't fill ourselves to make us feel good, but it will come with joy. It will come with gladness. It will come with praise of thank you, Jesus. Wow. How many of you actually believe you could be that person that goes into Hereford City or wherever you're from and just share what Jesus has done, your testimony, your story, and see things change? It's like, wow. Living waters, hope into a despairing world, acceptance to people that feel shame, love to people who feel isolated. It's like, wow. But you know what? God did it for me. And I know God's done it for many of you. And he wants to do it for more, because that's why Jesus died. That's why we have the cross. Because God so loved the world, he gave his son. Didn't just love me. Didn't love all of, just love all of you here and those online. He loved the world. Amen? Amen. I've gone completely off, but never mind. So it might be that you're here and you just want a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit, that flowing water, that saturation. Just ask. Come. It's not me. I can do nothing without God, without the Holy Spirit, but God can. Amen? So I'm going to finish there. If you're needing that touch from God, that saturation, not a little drip, but a saturation, an intensity, that's what God wants to do. He wants to change our lives around to change the world out there, and that's the way he's going to do it. If you want us to pray, we'll pray. Otherwise, let's just soak in his presence. We are a community of believers. That woman was restored to her community, a family. Amen. Thank you.
When we were praying, you know, someone brought a word that God's saying, don't rush. And we feel like you said, we just need to spending the time just soaking and not rushing. So Tim's just going to play, maybe do a song in a second. The kids went out a little bit late as well, so we have no pressure to rush off in 2 minutes to grab them. You know, let's just really respond and listen to what Leslie was saying. You know, that living water that God is available. Maybe this morning you're here and you've never met Jesus before. You don't have no idea what Leslie was talking about. You know, living water, what is this? You know, we would love to pray with you and talk with you this morning. I'd love to introduce you to Jesus who has that living water. Or maybe, as Leslie was saying, you're in that place where your heart is maybe hardened. You know, we had a lot of words this morning about opening the eyes of our hearts and God wanting to do a work in our lives. You know, this morning, this is that time just to respond between you and God, where there's no judgment. Jesus isn't here looking at you, just as Leslie was saying. He isn't looking at you and judging you. He's here accepting you with his arms. No judgment. We are family. We're in this together. So right now, as Tim plays, and we'll do one more song before we close. Just use this time for you and God. Just you and God.
rise, my soul rest in your embrace, for I am yours, you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you'll never fail and you won't start now. And I will call upon your name, keep my eyes above the waves, and oceans rise, my soul rests in your embrace, for I am yours, you are mine. Without borders, let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet would ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust without borders, let me walk upon the waters wherever you may call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is with without borders, let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. I will call upon your name, keep my eyes above the waves, when oceans rise, my soul rests in your embrace, for I am yours.